Well, whether it's a delectable zucchini sautéed up with some garlic and garden fresh tomatoes, or maybe it's a fresh roasted delicata that's caramelized around the edges. Oh, boy. Squash is delicious. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Amanda Paugh is smitten with squash, and I bet you will be, too, after this program. She's very passionate, a tastemaker, self-taught cook, author of the blog Heartbeat Kitchen, and beet is spelled like the vegetable beet, Heartbeat Kitchen. And she is the author of this brand new book that I've really been enjoying. It's called, it's a recipe cookbook, Smitten with Squash. Amanda, welcome to the program. Thank you for taking time to be with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me, Larry.
I'm really enjoying your book. How did you first become smitten with squash?
I know, people, that's a question I get asked often, like, how did you pick this vegetable to write a whole entire book on and make, you know, 80-some recipes? And I explained that a little bit in the beginning of the book, but it really all started, I began exploring, you know, our farmers markets here in the Minneapolis Twin Cities area, actually when I moved from La Crosse, Wisconsin, about 4 years ago. And you know, just like there is over in Wisconsin and Madison and some of the great farmers markets, I was just enamored kind of with just the fresh food and how these farmers are bringing us just these wonderful eats. And something that's really unique about the Minneapolis farmers market is that it goes all year round. And so it was, I think, late October, and I was there on kind of an off day. And this man, it was very cold, and he was standing at the end of the row, and I was just about ready to leave. And one of the things that I try to do even now is kind of pick something at the market that I've never cooked with before and start to experiment it with in my own kitchen. And so I saw this man, and he basically had some herbs and some onions and vegetables, you know, at the end of October. And then he had this one bag of squash. And I thought, well, I don't really know what to do with it, but gal, I feel kind of bad for this guy, and he's standing here, and I said, you know, I'm just going to buy it and start cooking with it. And so I did, and from there, and so that was a bag of winter squash, but I just realized the versatility of it, and the kind of the beauty and the beast kind of structure that it has. You know, sometimes they're not real pretty on the outside, but once you get inside of them, the opportunities are endless.
Oh, absolutely. What's their history in North America? You write a little about that.
Yeah, I do have a little bit in there about the history. And what I found was so interesting was that, you know, the Native Americans really brought squash here and were some of the ones that planted it the most. And one of the reasons that it was used in planting so often was that it went also along with two other crops. So together they were called the Three Sisters, and that was squash, corn, and beans. And together, each of them has kind of a job. So the beans act as the pole, basically, for the corn stalks to kind of grow up. And the leafy green vines of the squash cover the soil, so they protect the soil for the roots of all the other plants. And they really found this method of growing to be beneficial and to give them crops very bountiful in all three of these, where they could basically keep their families fed on, which is very, very interesting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And squash, a big family of plants, we think of them as summer or winter squashes. How do you define the difference between summer and winter squash?
Yeah, so, you know, the technical definition is there's three species actually within the family, and that's kind of how they're broken up into summer, winter, and then the one that's really just an odd, and I would need to see the actual name written down, or I'm going to flub over pronouncing it. But it's one family, and really all it has in it is the butternut squash and, like, two others. So you have summer squash, which is Cucurbita pepo, and then there's Cucurbita maxima, which is most of the winter squash, and then the one in between that's kind of the butternut and those other things. But what is interesting is that a lot of us think of summer squash and acorn squash in the winter family, but they're actually summer squashes.
Acorns are. Oh, I was thinking of them as winter.
Yeah, you always think they're winter, and that's when you normally see them, but they are a form of summer squash, and actually so is delicata.
Okay, and so there's some sort of physical, genetic difference that makes one summer and one winter?
There is, to us as consumers or people who, garden with them, it's just more in the breed that they are. So it's not, a physical difference, really. Besides that, the water content of summer squashes is much, much higher. So summer squashes are about 90% water, and winter squashes are much more starch, have much more starch in them.
Much more dense, yeah, for sure.
Yep. And the harder skins, which, keep them longer for storage purposes and whatnot.
Talking today with Amanda Pah, who is the author of Smitten with Squash. It's a wonderful new book about care of squash and then lots of wonderful recipes for both summer and winter squash. And certainly love to hear from you. Do you have some questions about squash? Do you have some favorite recipes or favorite ways that you like to cook or prepare squash? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post a question, or maybe you've got a cool squash photo, question or photo, or both, on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, and you can post it right there, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. Well, my family was, we were on vacation for a week. It was gone 9 days, and I came home to find my squash with some powdery mildew.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm nuts. It's not good. I mean, it's not the end of the world, but it's...
Did it rain a lot?
I think we had, there was a time when there was about 2 inches or 2.5 inches of rain fell in one rain, and I think that's probably what did it.
That probably, that might not be the worst thing, because as I talk about in the book, summer squash and zucchini can just grow like wildfire. And people have a hard time using it up, which is part of the reason why I wrote the book, to give people a lot of ideas, some different ideas for how to use it besides the normal zucchini bread and those types of things.
Yeah, and you have some wonderful recipes in the book. And this is, of course, summer squash season right now.
Yes.
What have you learned about growing them? Are they, they're not really tough to grow.
No, and summer squash is really not tough to grow unless, like you, who had the mildew, which can happen, and that doesn't really cause anything besides it just stops growing pretty much, and you can't eat it. Squash bugs are much more prevalent with winter squash than they are summer squash. And those can be very detrimental to a crop. But summer squash and zucchini, they grow very prolifically, as most gardens will tell you by looking at them. But, the things that I've learned about growing them are, sometimes different vegetables only have a short season where you can harvest them. And zucchini and summer squash are interesting because they can, you can harvest them when they're real young and they almost look miniature, right?
Right.
Or sometimes they accidentally get too big and they look like baseball bats.
Yep.
But you can still harvest them. But what I found is kind of the ideal size for summer squash and zucchini is about, that 6 to 10 inch long kind of segments. And the other thing that I found, a way for people when they're at the markets and they're looking at all these vendors and farmers who have the summer and squash and zucchini and patty pans and that kind of thing, a way to tell that they're really fresh is if you pick them up, and sometimes they'll even feel a little bit dewy yet because they do have so much water, and if they were just picked, a little bit of that moisture will be coming out. Or if you rub kind of your hands on them and your finger, they should almost squeak. Your fingers almost shouldn't slide on, almost like a little bit of a stick.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that they're very fresh too. And then just making sure that you don't feel any soft spots on them. You want them to feel heavy. And you don't want them to be, you know, have any mushy parts.
Yeah, all very good points. With all that water, what does that mean for preparation from your point of view?
Yeah, so, you know, in all of the testing that I did with these recipes and just over the last couple of years working with this type of vegetable in my own kitchen, it is important to salt, you know, your zucchini or your summer squash if you're going to be using it in something that needs to be baked to get a lot of that water content out so that it doesn't end up kind of flooding the pan or end up bland because there's so much water and it's soggy. But if you don't have time to, you know, quickly douse it with a little salt and let it sit for 20 minutes, I found that if you roll it, if you put it into a cloth towel and you roll it up and you almost wring it out like you would if you were washing laundry and you were going to wring, you know, your towels out, that will pretty much, if you do that a couple of times, will get all of the water out. And you'll be surprised how much water comes out of that stuff. I mean, it really, truly is 90% water. The other thing, too, that I would caution people of is, you know, zucchini noodles that we see all over in different recipes where you're making strands of noodles, those are great. But you don't want to prepare those too far ahead of the time that you're going to eat them because they will start to lose their water and whatever, you know, sauce that you put on them will get pretty watery if it's too far in advance. So just make sure you can make the noodles, you know, like actually physically make them and then wait to put the sauce on them or whatever until right before you're going to eat them.
Ah, Amanda Pah, our guest today, author of the book Smitten with Squash. I'm Larry Mueller. And Jennifer Dargan, our on-air producer, you can join in with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, we're talking about the wonders of squash with Amanda Pah, who has a great book. It's called Smitten with Squash, and I'm enjoying talking with her. I hope you're enjoying listening. You may have something to add or a question for her. Maybe you've got a recipe that you've always enjoyed with your squash. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Chris from Wisconsin Dells called to say that people should remember they can donate their excess produce at food banks. And there are many food banks across Wisconsin, or actually across the country for that matter. She also shared this tip, and I want to see, Amanda, if you agree with this. If you have oversized produce, she said, soak them in brine, and that will pull out the tannins and make them tastier.
You know, I have never tried soaking them in brine. Something that I do, that's I should really try that, though, because with the overgrown, that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
Sometimes what I do when it's overgrown and I'm gifted, you know, too much to use, I go ahead and I grate it and squeeze a lot of the water content out and then freeze it, you know, put it into a Ziploc bag and so that it's horizontal and flatten it out and freeze it like that. So, it's in one piece, basically. And throughout the winter, it comes along great for different types of quick breads that you'd want to make or muffins that you would want to add to or even blending it into soups. It works great for a hearty minestrone or something like that.
When do you peel these squash and when do you leave the skin on these summer squash?
You know, I never peel them. The skin is so thin, it's edible, it has fiber on it, it's tasteless, basically, and it's not tough. Some people think that it could be tough, but it's actually even softer than cucumber skin, and so I just leave mine on, even when I'm making the noodles or something like that.
You know, I always do, too.
I
just...
And, you know, it adds that pretty color.
Yeah.
Soup, whatever you're making.
And I'm kind of lazy too. But it does add color, which is quite nice.
Yep.
Brian in Madison, thank you for calling. Hi, what's on your mind?
Hi, hey, a pleasure to listen to the show. I also love squash. Ratatouille is my favorite thing to do with zucchini.
Yeah.
But the question I have, this year I'm growing some yellow crookneck squash.
Yeah.
And I notice it's a much tougher skin. And like normally with zucchini, I can just use the skin and everything in my recipes.
Yep.
But I've noticed that this squash is a little tougher on the outside. Is that still considered a summer squash?
Yes, it is. Yep. And you'll notice it does have a little bit of a thicker skin. But if you're roasting it like you would be doing in ratatouille, it'll be fine. You won't really notice it at all. It's just a little bit thicker, I think, because it actually has a longer maturity than some of the other summer squashes. So that could be the reason why that skin is a little bit thicker. But there's another recipe in my book it's called a shakshuka, and that's basically eggs baked in like a spicy tomato sauce, tomato vegetable sauce with like feta and all these different herbs. And that would be a fun one to use some chopped crookneck squash in too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because the flavor of it's very good. But like I said, I've been a little put off by the denseness of it.
The denseness, yeah. And, you know, the other thing is maybe try cutting it a little thinner so you don't notice it quite, you know, slicing it a little bit thinner.
That's a good point, too.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Well,
you know,
thank you very
much.
The
other thing you could do is that is make pickles out of it because that'll soften that skin.
Oh.
There's a recipe in my book, and it's really easy. It's just spicy summer squash refrigerator pickles. So it's got garlic and coriander and some red pepper flakes. And it takes, 2 minutes to put together, and it's really easy.
Mm.
I'll definitely try that. We have a million of them, so.
Okay, Brian, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You know, you're talking about recipes. You have a lot of great recipes in your book, and you share a couple with us to put up on our show's Facebook page.
Yeah,
the summer squash, red pepper, and artichoke risotto.
Yes.
And then the refreshing summer squash tangle salad.
Yes. The risotto is really nice because it's a light, really a nice light dish. And, you know, if you don't have artichokes or you don't have red peppers, but you have a lot of green peppers and you might have, some really nice spring onions, it just feel free to interchange whatever, else you have coming from your garden besides the zucchini and summer squash. And it's really a nice dish. And I give a little tip in the book, too, with that is with the leftover risotto. If you just take that once it's cold, maybe the next day, and you pat it in patties and roll it into some breadcrumbs and make some risotto cakes out of it, it's fabulous.
Oh, what a great idea.
Yeah, yeah. And then, the refreshing summer squash and watermelon tangle, I made that a couple weeks ago when I was on a TV show here, and the audience just loved it, and it's so refreshing with kind of that crunch from the watermelon, and it's very pretty with the pink and then the yellow and the green, and there's some sunflower seeds in there and some sesame oil, and it's really just kind of a fresh flavor.
I have not tried it yet, but believe me, I am going to try that. It sounds so good, really, and this time of year, it's perfect.
Yes, the melons are in season, everything is, so yeah.
We have Lydia in Mount Horeb next. Lydia, hi, thank you for calling.
You're welcome, thank you. I'm very fond of yellow crookneck squash, and we pick it when it's maybe 5 or 6 inches long.
Yeah.
Very tender skin at that point.
Yes.
Slice it thin and put it in a tiny bit of water for 5 minutes and simmer it, and it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it's so refreshing to have that. And I feel like you said, picking it young like that is helpful so that the skin doesn't get too thick.
Yeah, the ones that get too big, they go in the compost.
Yes.
The other question I have is some of them turn green, and they're not very tasty. I mean, do you know why some of them are turning green?
You know, I don't know that answer for sure, but, you know, I'm thinking about in terms of, you know, how potatoes sometimes can turn green if, I think it's they get too much water and then the sun hits them. There's some weird chemical reaction that I know happens with potatoes to make them turn green. I think it's oxidation. And that, I have no idea if that's what happens to the squash, too, or could possibly happen to them, but maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
There's butternut squash planted close by. There'd be no effect from that, would there?
You know, it would be interesting to have, you know, someone who does, a farmer who does a ton of planting to see if he's ever had that, because I don't know if that would affect it. But, you know, possibly it could.
I don't know that those squash would cross.
No, I don't think they would either.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah. A good question.
Thanks, Lydia.
You're welcome.
Yeah, appreciate the call very much.
Thank you.
And let's turn to Carlene in Brooklyn next. Carlene, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you. I'm just going to respond to that green, picnic turning green. My farmer neighbor told me that I planted my zucchini too close to it, and they were cross-pollinating, and when I had that happen. So I don't know. That wasn't actually why I called. But that could be it. I am from North Carolina, and in North Carolina, we eat a lot of yellow crookneck squash, and one of the favorite recipes is a summer squash casserole that I rarely see here, and just wondered, I haven't seen your book, so I wonder if you have any kind of recipe like that or have ever made squash casserole.
Yeah, I do. I have a summer squash zucchini and cauliflower gratin in there, so like a casserole. It's baked in a casserole dish. And, you know, it's one of my favorite recipes from the book, actually. You saute some onions down, and you actually, what you do is that you don't have to use so much cream, and this is a trick that I learned from good old Julia Child. But the water that you squeeze from the excess zucchini or the shredded, you know, crookneck, if you were to use that, you use that as part of the braising liquid that is then sautéed down the zucchini and the garlic and the onions, and then a little bit of cream is mixed in and some Parmesan, and it's baked until it's bubbly and golden brown. And yes, I am very fond of that. But you are right. I hadn't seen one of those recipes up here, or, you know, in any of my grandmother's cookbooks or anything. So, you know, I'm not sure if that's more of a southern type dish, but I love it.
I was thinking about casseroles. There's a casserole that I make, and I might have gotten it from my mother. I can't remember the title. She called it Zubeefy because it was zucchini and some ground beef. It was a casserole, you know, and cheese, and some onion. It's really good.
And those are nice, too, because, you know, they last for a couple days. They're so quick to heat up, and they're great.
Yeah, I actually meant to bring that in, and I just plain forgot. I'll have to post that recipe up on my Facebook page at some point here, because it's a really a good one. Will from Wausau had lots of success with sautéing squash blossoms, and just wanted to mention that. Do you do that?
Yeah, you know, there is a recipe for squash blossoms in the book, and I've sautéed them, you know, just real lightly with some olive oil and good salt. I also like actually eating them just raw, and because then you can really taste what the squash blossom actually taste like. And what I did with ones that are just picked or that I find at the market is I, you know, clean out kind of the middle of them to make sure there aren't any bugs, and then stuff them with a really, really good soft cheese. So I call for, I call for burrata cheese. So stuff that in there, and then brush the tops of them, close them back up, the blossoms, and brush them with olive oil and lemon zest and chopped capers. And it's very, very simple. A good Camembert cheese would also be wonderful in there, or even a brie that gets kind of oozy and goozy. But, yeah, very tasty.
And we have, Elizabeth on Facebook posted a recipe for sweet corn cakes with zucchini that that she's preparing tonight.
Oh, wonderful.
So you've got to go to my Facebook page.
I will definitely have to check it out.
Take a look at that one, Amanda. And what else have we got here? Oh, lots of things on the, oops, I just goofed up my Facebook page here for a second. Nuts. Why do you do that, Larry? I'm talking to myself. I'm trying to talk into the microphone, and while I'm looking to my left to see where is that spot that I was just at. Nuts. Well, it'll turn out. Inga Witcher actually sent a recipe and a great photo of some pickles. That she makes. Lottie Pastouf equals zucchini pickles.
Yeah, I mean, their pickles are such a great way to use up that excess, you know, and people often just think of cucumbers or other vegetables, they really work well.
And here's another. Oh, this is so much fun. You really have to go to my Facebook page and take a look at the post there. There are some great photos.
I'm so glad that people are joining in on the conversation.
Yeah. There are lots. Believe me, there are lots of people joining in. Karen sent a photo. She just took it about 15 minutes ago and got in the car to go to the store to get ingredients for zucchini bread. When I turned on the radio and heard your show.
Oh, yay.
She says, I think I will definitely have to get this book so I have some more ideas for these great vegetables. And she's got a photo of her son, I would bet, who is not quite as tall, as he's a little guy, as the zucchini.
It's a huge one, huh?
Two pretty good sized zucchinis.
Oh, like I said, they can be baseball bats.
Oh man. Somebody, Irene on Facebook, wondered if you could talk a little bit more about shredding squash for freezing. When do you remove the liquid content, or if you just shred and freeze a lot of water when you defrost it? How would you measure the zucchini when using it for sort of like for baking muffins and that sort of thing?
Right. So what I do is I squeeze out, so I shred it using a coarse grater, you know, just a box grater, or a food presser with the grating blade in there. And then I do the thing where I salt it for about 20 minutes and then fold it into, you know, a cloth towel and really, really squeeze it and really get all that water out. And just keep going until you're not really finding much more water in it. And then I measure it in measuring cups. So usually I do 2 cups or 3 cups, usually 3 cups of zucchini to a small Ziploc bag. I put it in there, I pack it down flat, and then I label on the package, you know, zucchini or summer squash, 3 cups measured, and stick it in the freezer. And then that way, you know, most zucchini recipes, like for breads or muffins or things like that, will call for it in cups, and you can use it straight from there.
All right. That's
and defrost it, so let it thaw, and then use it in the recipe.
Donna in Bailey's Harbor, thanks a lot for calling. Hi.
Hi. I'm wondering, I was just out in my garden checking on my spaghetti squash. I have a whole lot of them, and thinking that they needed to turn yellow and get a little bit harder. I finally saw one that was yellow. I picked it up, and it was actually, you know, like overripe, starting to get soft and ripe. So I guess I don't need to wait till they're yellow, or does it depend on the variety, perhaps?
You know, so it might depend on the variety. Is it, what color is it?
Almost looks like, in some ways, the shape is more like a small pumpkin, but it has the light green and white striated, similar to any young, immature squash or winter type squash.
It's not oblong.
No, it isn't. It isn't really oblong. They're a little bit more the shape like you would expect a winter squash is to be. More like a, you know, kind of pumpkin-y.
Yeah, that sort of sounds shape. More like a, probably like a sweet carnival, or there's another winter squash that looks similar that has, they're all types of delicata. They're a hybrid usually of a delicata and an acorn. And those are technically summer squashes. But like you said, you can pick those a little bit sooner and they will mature. And that's when the sweetness starts, and they won't get soft. So you might have waited just a little bit too long. But when
I'll harvest the rest of them. I knew I had bought some recently, like at the store. And they were yellow and hard, and they seem like then they store really well, but maybe they...
And those were probably more oblong-shaped, right?
A little bit, but not real oblong. But anyhow, I think it was... I'll try going ahead and harvesting. And I had taken not mine, but one that was from the store, and I had roasted it, actually, because I was grilling some other vegetables anyhow, and I grilled it on the top shelf and left it whole, and it was really good. But it's different because usually I would sort of steam it. What is your favorite method for dealing with spaghetti squash?
Sometimes why people get turned off from squash is because it is steamed, and steaming actually adds water to it. So there's a lot of water already in it, and then when you steam it, you just get more water in it. And so they think, oh, this is kind of mushy and it doesn't have any taste. My favorite way, whether it's acorn squash or butternut or red curry, is to dry roast it. And so I put it on like a rimmed baking sheet. I cut it in half, I hollow out the seeds, and I put it cut side down. And that will roast it, and it'll give it a little bit of extra heat because it is face side down. But those edges will caramelize on there, and everything will just roast beautifully, and the natural sugars will come out of it. And then I usually, once I know it's, you know, pretty much done, it's fork tender, I'll turn it up and let it roast for, you know, 8 more minutes probably, so that the cut side is up and those edges really get caramelized. And that's my favorite way to do it.
Okay. And also for summer squash or winter, either?
Summer squash is a little bit, I like to grill summer squash personally. I just think it's wonderful.
I do too.
It tastes so well. It just does. And the other thing I think that people should know about grilling summer squash is that what's nice is that it does dry it out a little bit and get some of that water out. And so you'll really get the actual taste and texture like you want it from those squash. So that's the way I prefer to do it.
I totally agree. And it's even totally plain. You don't even, I find that it's great without anything on it, just like that.
It
just brings out the
it
flavor.
Is. Yeah, it's, this brings up a good point. I was making one of the salads from the book this weekend here at the market at a demo that I was doing. And, you know, dicing the zucchini or summer squash kind of small and using it in salads, so like rice salads or grain salads, is really, I think, a better way to do it than cutting it, you know, in half, so like half moon shapes, because the texture is better and it doesn't get as watery, and so it mixes in nicely. It's almost like a little bit of a crunch, you know, it's like a vegetable crouton almost.
sounds good. Casseroles, one of a great use, especially if the zucchini's getting a bit large, maybe somebody's mentioned it, would be moussaka. And zucchini, I've seen and tried and done it many times where instead of eggplant or if I didn't have that, I would use zucchini and potatoes. And you can do like a mixture of layers, zucchini, potatoes, and eggplant if you have it. And it can be done either vegetarian or with meat.
So, and that's a good, like, versatility where, you know, whatever you kind of else you have in your garden that's fresh, just add it to it and you have just a nice meal.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Don. That was great. Great of you to call. I really appreciate it. The winter squash, how do you pick a winter squash? Somebody asked, how do you pick winter squash or, you know, when to pick a good or how to pick a good one at the farmer's market or when to harvest it?
Yeah, so picking a good one at the market, what you want to look for is the stems to still be attached and they should be dried out. You don't want that stem to have any greenness to it. That means it was either picked too soon or it wasn't left long enough to what we call cure. So farmers will tell you that when they harvest their squash, they'll harvest it maybe in late September, you know, some of these winter squash, or late August, and they will let it sit out unattached. You know, they'll cut it off, the vine, and when they let it sit in a really dry place, that is going to cure that squash, and that means that it's going to kind of almost start to seal itself, and the skin is going to start to harden, and the sugars are going to start to release inside the squash and the starches. So that's where the sweetness comes from. So when you're at the market, you want to make sure, like I said, check the stems. The stems should still be attached, no greenness to the stems. And if you are, like, buying acorn squash, let's say, a little bit of an orange patch on them, which is sometimes what you'll see. Sometimes people are like, oh, that means it's overripe. No, that's actually good because it means that it was left to lay out in the sun, and that's the spot that it laid on. And it's actually, it's going to be sweeter because it was left to cure at the right time. So that's a one little, you know, orange patch is a good thing. But other than that, you know, make sure that they don't have any nicks in them or big bruises. But if they do have some, you know, little bubbly warts or whatnot, that's common and
that's
normal.
That's fine,
Yeah. Sometimes the uglier, the better.
Well, you have written a wonderful book, Matt. You know, when the fall squash come in, we should have you. Would you come back and be with us again?
That would be wonderful. I would love that. I mean, so many great questions today, and I can't wait to check out the Facebook page.
Absolutely. There may be a question or two you could answer on the page.
Yeah. And if anybody else, you know, if they have a question, like I said, you know, the blog is heartbeatkitchen.com, and I also have a Facebook page, or I'm on Twitter as my Amanda_Pa, and yeah, I mean, the book is available widely from Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And, you know, even if you hear of any local retailers, that would be great to know, too, if anybody over there had the book.
That's wonderful. And, of course, we have links to all of your work on my Facebook page. So I really, really appreciate, Amanda, you being with us today. And I look forward to another visit.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. And have a great rest of the week.
You as well. Amanda Pa is the author of Smitten with Squash. And wasn't that fun talking with her? Talking about all those squashes and how to prepare them is enough to whet your appetite a bit. And, of course, you'll need something to wash that squash down with. And coming up next, we're going to find out how to brew some delicious organic beers at home and to do it in a way that is great for the environment. So I hope you'll stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.